Genesis 45. Genesis 45. We are looking at the life of Joseph here as we go through Genesis. The last major section in Genesis is about Joseph, and we've seen how he's been dealing with his brothers. And the last time we looked at this, which was 2 weeks ago, we looked at chapter 44, and one of his brothers was making a desperate request to Joseph. Anybody remember who that was? Which brother was making the request to Joseph? Judah, right. Judah has this desperate plea that he's making. Please don't take Benjamin. My father's going to die if he finds out that Benjamin is lost. Please don't do that. And so Joseph cannot stand it any longer. And we pick up here in chapter 45. I'm going to read a portion of this chapter here, beginning in verse 1. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, "Cause every man to go out from me." And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live?" And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "Come near to me, I pray you." And they came near, and he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall be neither earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt." I read a little story about a grandmother who was trying to help out her grandson. Her grandson was hungry. He said, "Grandma, I want a snack. I want a snack." And she said, "Okay, well, here you go. Have some cooking oil." He said, "Grandma, I don't want cooking oil. I don't like that. I want something else." And so she said, "Here you go. How about some baking soda? Have some baking soda." And he said, "I don't like baking soda. I want something else." And so she said, "Okay, here you go. Have some eggs, some raw eggs. Would you like some raw eggs? Would you like some? No? Okay." And he said, "Grandma, I don't like raw eggs." And she said, "Well, you know what? If we take all of those ingredients that you don't like and we mix them all up and we follow a recipe, we put it in the oven, we'll take it out, and guess what it is? It's a cake." He said, "Oh, I like cake. I like cake." Okay, good. I like cake too. What we see in the life of Joseph are a lot of things that at the moment we would say, "I don't like that at all. I don't like being in prison. I don't like being hated by my brothers. I want my brothers to like me." But that's what Joseph had to face. He was hated by his brothers. He got cast into prison. He was sold as a slave. And yet we see, especially in this chapter, that God was working with all of those things, and he was creating something very good for Joseph, for Joseph's family, for other people in the country there. And so I was titling this message here from verse 8, where Joseph says, "So it was not you that sent me hither, but God." And I think a good title for this passage is "Not You, But God." Not you, but God. Joseph is a man who firmly believes in the providence of God. And I have to imagine that at different points in Joseph's life where things were getting really bad, that perhaps he reminded himself about that truth, that God is in charge, and though I can't understand it at the moment, God knows better than I do. And I have to think that Joseph encouraged himself And with whatever revelation he had about God, somehow he understood that. And he understands that here. But what I'd like for you to see tonight in this passage is what that does in Joseph's life. The fact that Joseph understands that God was doing something in his life that he couldn't understand, that God was in control, God was a God of providential control, that made Joseph to be who he was. That made Joseph a caring person. In this chapter, we see that. And so I want to point out these ways in which we see that Joseph is a caring person. We see that there are ways that we too can be concerned for others. And the only way that we can do that is if we trust in the providence of God. We can't do that on our own. But if we will firmly trust in the providence of God, we can be caring. And Joseph has the opportunity here. And so the first way that we see that Joseph is a caring person is we see that he was, and we need to be concerned about changed lives. We need to be concerned about changed lives. And I brought my pictures again here tonight. Okay? You've seen this one before, I think. But here are Joseph's brothers, and they're standing before him. And they had some visits here. We've looked at their visits that they made to the palace. This is the last one. And you have to imagine what's going through Joseph's mind. What they did to me. And Judah is the man who has just spoken here. Judah's making this desperate plea. And you have to imagine what Joseph is thinking about what he knows about his brother. His brother was the one who made the suggestion to sell Joseph as a slave. That was Judah. So I don't know if Judah is one of these men here, but Judah was the guy who said, let's sell him. Let's get rid of him. Sell him to the Ishmaelites. They're going down to Egypt. We'll get some money and be done with him. We don't like him. And so as we've looked at these chapters here, we've seen the tests that Joseph puts his brothers through. And at first glance, when we read those, we think, why is Joseph doing that? And I think the reason that he's doing that is he's testing them to see if they've changed. And we see that they have changed. They are not the same people that they were. And that becomes very clear as Judah makes this desperate plea. Okay, Judah's not the same guy that he was before. But we see that Joseph is concerned about the change in their lives. He puts them through these tests. And he expects that from them. And I think it's a good reminder for us, too, as we deal with other people, and perhaps they've done some things that are not right. They've sinned. Perhaps they've sinned against us. Perhaps they have hurt our family in some way. I think it is right and biblical to expect that people demonstrate some change. Joseph was somebody who wanted to make sure these brothers are not just as bad as they were, maybe even more bad, or worse, I guess would be the right word. He's testing them here, expecting that they do change. But then he sees that they do, and he responds to the change. He cannot bear it any longer, and he reveals himself. He says, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And they can hardly believe it. This is Joseph? We thought this guy was an Egyptian, but this is Joseph. So be concerned about changed lives. Now, notice the next thing here. The next way that Joseph shows his care, and that we should too, is not only be concerned about changed lives, but be concerned for a right view of God. Be concerned for a right view of God. Notice verse 5. It says, Thou therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. And then he goes through and he tells his brothers, it wasn't you, it was God. He's concerned about their view of God. And we see some reasons why we should be concerned about that. And we see one here in verse 5. Now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither. we see that Joseph is concerned about how his brothers feel. He just revealed himself and he said, I'm Joseph, and you guys sold me into Egypt. Oh no, somebody knows about that. Joseph is alive still. But Joseph is concerned that they are not grieved or angry with themselves. And how can a person correct those feelings if they have them? How can they do that? It's only through a right view of God that a person can deal with those feelings. And Joseph knows that. And so he goes on to give them a right view of God that will help their feelings. But more than that, a right view of God affects your relationships. And that's what was going on here. Joseph needed to teach his brothers about God in order to reconcile to his brothers. There was not going to be any reconciling unless they all had the same view of God, unless they could all look back on the past and see, yes, there was some sin, but God was somehow working things out for good, even with that sin. It affects your relationships, your view of God. And so Joseph goes through and he explains to them, the end of verse 5, God did send me before you to preserve life. We see that God sometimes allows people to suffer mistreatment. That needs to be part of our view of God. We see that God cares about the lives of human beings. And Joseph explained to them that God sent him to Egypt in order to save lives. To save lives in Egypt. To save the lives of his brothers. God cares about human life. And then we see that God controls even the actions of people intent on sin. Not you that sent me hither, he says. And here we're reminded that in every action, human action, there are two sides. There is the human side that we see and we are so drawn to because it's what we see. But yet there is a divine side to every human action. Not you, but God. Even the actions of a person intent on sin, like his brothers were. All right, this is his brothers. These are his brothers many years before. What were they doing in that picture? All right, they were selling him. Yeah. And it doesn't look too fun. You know, they are beating up on him, for sure. And, you know, they just dug him out of a cistern, a pit, and they're going to sell him. And here we see in this passage of Scripture that God was somehow using people set on sin to accomplish his purpose. That's amazing. Matthew Henry, in his commentary, said this. He said, God often works by contraries. God often works by contraries. What does he mean by that? He often works by people dead set on sinful behavior. How can he do that? He's a great God. He's a sovereign God. He often works by contraries. What would have happened if Joseph, his brothers, had been nice guys and they didn't sell him into Egypt? From our perspective, he wouldn't have been the ruler of Egypt. He wouldn't have been the prime minister in charge of helping people through the famine. Now, I'm sure God would have gotten another way around it, but, you know, that's how God chose to use it. If these guys hadn't been really bad, Joseph wouldn't have been where he was. Now, that's not an excuse for sin, of course, but God worked in that way. And we have a reminder here, or we ought to think even of the greatest example of this, which was however many thousands of years later when God sent his own son into the world and he was there in the Garden of Gethsemane and Jesus was praying that he would be able to do the Father's will and to accept the cup that his Father has given him. And what was that? It was suffering at the hands of people dead set on sin. to arrest Jesus, who was perfect, never had sinned, to crucify him. And yet in that action, God was accomplishing the salvation of the human race, providing for it. God often works by contraries, as Matthew Henry says. So be concerned for a right view of God. And then the third thing here we see in this passage, be concerned about showing your care. Be concerned about showing your care. We read on in the passage here, and Joseph wants to report to his father. Look at verse 9. "Haste ye, and go up to my father, and say unto him, Thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not." And then he makes provision for his dad and his family. He promises he's going to take care of them. And then we come down to verses 14 and 15. "He fell on his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them, and after that his brethren talked with him." Here we see Joseph showing his care. And he does that, first of all, through communication. Joseph wants to send a message to his dad. He wants to make things clear. "God hath made me lord of all of Egypt." That's what he wants to tell his dad. And isn't it interesting that the first thing he wants to say to his dad is something about the Lord? "God hath done this for me. God has made me lord of all Egypt." And then we see his care through providing for their physical needs. He's going to take care of his father's housing. He's going to feed his family. That's a way that we can demonstrate care for people too. You know, providing for their physical needs, their food, their shelter. And the Bible talks about our responsibility that we have towards members of our family. And Jesus rebuking the people of his day for their excuse making. And they called their money that they had. "Well, it's a gift. It can't be used to take care of my mom and dad. I can't use that money, of course." But Joseph, he is going to take care of his parents. He's taking care of his elderly father. So care through providing for physical needs. And then we see verses 14 and 15, Joseph is he is hugging his brothers. All right. Do you like to give hugs to your brothers and sisters? All right. Yes and no? You do? Maybe not. How about handshakes? Handshakes? All right. I could live with a handshake. But here's another way. You know, Joseph is reconciling here. And what do we do with this? What's Joseph doing? Yes, he's showing a visible sign of his care. But I think even more than that, we see Joseph letting go of the past. We could talk about forgiveness here. Joseph is determined that he's going to reconcile with his family. And, how often do we see families that have issues from 20, 30, 40 years ago, and they come together and they don't talk to one another? They don't say anything. They don't come up and, give a handshake, say, "How are you doing?" Let alone a hug or a kiss. Why? Because they can't let go of something. They can't let go of something that somebody did way back when. But here we see Joseph letting go of the past. And it was not his fault. It was his brother's fault. I mean, they should have been the ones to come up and give him a hug. But Joseph was the one who made the first move here. Be concerned about showing your care. And then the fourth way that we see Joseph showing his care and concern. And we see that in perhaps not even Joseph doing this, but we see the results of the care here. Be concerned about the results of your care that you have. What are the results? Look at verse 16. "And the fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house." All right, here's one result. Your care can be a testimony. What is going on in there, these Egyptians say? What are they doing? Something is happening here, and that's unusual. the fame was heard in Pharaoh's house of what was going on here. Your care that you show towards others is a testimony, maybe a testimony to the world, to other members of your family. But people will notice that. The Egyptians noticed that. And it led Pharaoh to make provision for Joseph. Verse 17, Pharaoh said unto Joseph, say unto thy brethren, this do ye, lead your beasts, and go, get you unto the land of Canaan. And he makes provision for this entourage to come back to Canaan and pick up Jacob and his family, bring them back. Pharaoh makes provision for that. And then we see Joseph sending them off here in verse 24. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed, and he said unto them, see that ye fall not out by the way. What's Joseph doing there? I think what he's doing is he's saying, be careful, guys. Don't get into any more fights. You see, what was happening was they were being exposed to their dad now. And all this time, Jacob has lived under the lie that an animal has killed Joseph. And now he gets a message. Joseph is alive. He's a ruler in Egypt. And guess who's got some explaining to do? It's some brothers. And guess what happens when something like that happens? It was him. It was him. I know it was him. It wasn't me. He did it. It was Judah. It was Simeon. It was all the rest of them. And so Joseph says, be careful. All right. See that ye fall not out by the way. So we see that his care is a warning to his brothers. But most of all, we see the result of his care in Jacob's life here. Look at verse 25. And they went up out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father, and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he said unto them, when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him. The spirit of Jacob their father revived. And Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. What happened in Jacob's life was a result of what Joseph was doing. And that is, it encouraged him. It encouraged him. The spirit of his father revived. He's an old man. He's about ready to die. But man, something happened and he's a new man now. He's encouraged. And I think we see a reminder about the result of being concerned about other people, and that is, it encourages them. It encourages those people, just like it did to Jacob, Joseph's dad. It encouraged him. So we see here the care. Be concerned about changed lives. Be concerned for a right view of God. Be concerned about showing your care. Be concerned about the results of your care. But as we close here tonight, I want to remind you that what Joseph did was impossible unless he himself had a right view of God. What Joseph did was only possible because he believed that God is in control of all situations. We see him teaching his brothers that. That was Joseph's own belief. And a life that cares for others doesn't come naturally, especially when those people have mistreated you over the years. But if we can get a hold of the fact that God is doing great things in his plan, even using the sin, people that are dead set on sin in some way without God being responsible for it, he uses it. If we can believe that, then God can make us to be the same kind of people that Joseph is here in this chapter. May that be true for us tonight. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that you would help us to get a firm grasp upon the providence of God, the truth that God is directing in all situations, no matter if they be very evil. We thank you that we serve a God like that. And we pray that that understanding, that truth would do a work in our own hearts and change us to be the kind of people that Joseph demonstrates himself to be here in this passage of Scripture. And so we pray that you would give us the grace for that tonight. We pray that as we enter into this week, that you would help us to be submissive to your plan, whatever it may be for us. We don't know what may come across our path, come into our lives this week, but we know that you are a providential God and you care for your people. And so we pray that we would trust that as we leave here tonight. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymnals and turn to number 280.